And we are up and running. What's going on? Welcome to the LeVar Walker Show. What's happening, man? So I'm here with the very first episode of my first YouTube video podcast. You know, I've been doing these podcasts for quite some time. I was doing them in the comfort of my car on a little app called Anchor. And these podcasts were uploaded all over the world, and I was doing them every day. I used to call this the LeVar Walker Daily Show podcast, but now it's just straight the LeVar Walker Show. And basically, this is just a show where I can talk and get my thoughts off and talk shit and talk crazy like I do and just really express myself to all of my people out there. So nothing but love for y'all, and thank you to all of you who even downloaded my podcast and who have been rocking with me back in the day. Even though it'll be up audio now, we're on video. We just want to gain a little bit more traction, see what's going on in the world, see what's shaking. And so I'm here, and it's been a while. And thank you to all 100,000 of you who downloaded the podcast when we were just doing it straight audio. But so much has been going on in the world since the last time I even did a podcast. A lot of people have been hitting me up. Yo, man, we gonna get the podcast, man. You need to drop something. You need to do something. We need to talk to you, brother. So here I am. Shout out to all the other podcasts I've been on. The 85 South Show, the Godfrey Podcast. Everybody that showed me love and allowed me to come on their platforms. But now, you can get me each and every week right here. So here we are. Today was a great day. It was a little bit hot outside. I really didn't go outside. Well, I did go outside, but I went outside because, you know, with me getting older, I'll be 43 this year. I'm starting to like, for whatever reason, to pull weeds up in my yard. And it's something about putting your hands in the actual dirt and pulling up crabgrass. I have crabgrass growing in my yard. It's driving me crazy, and I can't help it, but I pulled a little bit up at the root, and I kept pulling crab. I cannot stop. So I have to get somebody, I'm gonna have to give me a new fertilizer company, because I need to get this crabgrass under control. I have somebody half-ass fertilizing my grass, but I need to change the narrative on that. So I'm going to have to call a big company in, because I want my grass to look like AstroTurf. And shout out to comedian JJ from The Sip, who's inspired me. And I don't know what it is, because JJ is a Virgo, I'm a Virgo, and it's just something about the grass. Is something about looking at your grass as a grown man and taking pride in your grass. Look at a man. Yo, your grass is everything, especially now because I put a fence up in my yard. I got the yard looking nice, nice, beautiful painted wooden fence. And I literally want AstroTurf back there. And every time I look at and I see one of them little grass things growing out of control, it literally drives me crazy. It drives me crazy. So I've just been picking holes in my grass. My grass looks like my hair. Like, you know, during COVID, I was trying to grow. I just let my hair go. You know, I know COVID is still going on, but I let my hair go. I was on strike with a lot of other brothers. Shout out Chico Bean. And I was trying to, like, literally grow my sides out. But what I discovered was that my sides don't even grow. Like, I don't have edges. If I was a female, I know y'all struggles. I literally don't have edges. And I tried to grow my hair out on the sides, but it ended up looking like little roach legs or ant legs or something, or just little eyelash hairs. And I had to put the razor to my head. Because I wouldn't mind growing out. I was like, yo, I was telling people, I'm like, yo, I'm going to grow my joint out. I'm going to grow it out, and I'm going to go Krusty the Clown, but I'm going to be fly with it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was really hoping to grow my joints out long on the side with the hole in the middle, but it wouldn't do that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm actually jealous of Chico Bean's hair, because his did it. Like, he got the total fro His edges are thick, they fit, but he got the hole in the top. And I was really trying to get down with that. But now, nothing works for me. I tried to put grease on my scalp. I tried to do everything, but that's just genetics. Meanwhile, my baby brother, who y'all can see back here in this back picture, head full of hair with a beard. So that's the roll of the dice with genes. That's called gene pool. I guess if me being the oldest child, I guess if we were dogs, I would be what's considered the runt of the litter. I would be the runt of the litter. So it's just been so much going on, man. First of all, let's just talk about 2020 and what 2020 has meant. And I'm going to start off by saying, since this is the first episode and I'm going to do more, I'm going to start off by saying I started my 2020 off with a bang. I started in January. I started as a writer in New York on a new show titled Love, Beth with Amy Schumer, where I will also be playing a character. Now, I was in New York, like literally living my dream, and everything was going great. I'm catching the train. I'm doing shows at the Cellar. It was my first time being in the Cellar. Love the Cellar. Got to perform there. Did about 8 shows. I don't know how many shows. Shout out to everybody at the Cellar. Literally living my dream. And I remember getting up one day, and I'm walking to work. I'm walking to go do my writer's gig in Manhattan. And I get a text that Kobe Bryant had died. Like, that is what I remember most. And I get this, I'm like, get the fuck out of here. So Kobe ends up dying with his child. And it seemed like right after that, everything literally went downhill. And matter of fact, I even had a newspaper article where it showed like Kobe dying in this crash, and they were talking about coronavirus at the same time. So, I mean, this year has been something else. But on the upside, I can say this year, I've been able to get close with my family. We've been able to cuddle, eat dinner every night. And that has really, really been great and truly, truly a blessing. But it's just so much going on, man. Like, you got Corona, and then, you know what I'm saying? It's hard enough with Corona, but then being Black, you know, dealing with all these problems with the police, and just this myriad of problems that have been going on, all these people tied up in the house, locked down in the house, and then riots and protests, and in the midst of the riots and protests, you still having shootouts in Chicago, which is where I'm from, on the south side of Chicago, and everybody's just in a chaotic mind state where we all just need to take a breath. And the only thing I could say to myself was, shit, man, I guess the only thing next is for aliens to come and just fuck us up, or just the world to, you know, some volcanic ash comes exploding out of the Yellowstone, out of a geyser, and we're just fucked. I haven't been on stage since March, and I did a joke when I was at the Laughing Skull. I was on stage, I did a joke about COVID where I totally disregarded it. I was like, yo, it's not a lot of people with this shit. There's a few elderly motherfuckers got it. Fuck it. And the joke just started aging so bad as the deaths increased and people were getting on my ass. And I said, you know what? I'm just going to take this joke down and archive this joke. And that's exactly what I did, because I'm going to tell you what's so crazy about COVID. So I like, you know, I do some dumb shit, just being funny, just being funny. I do stupid shit. So a friend of mine had texted me, matter of fact, comedian out of Chicago, M-Dubs texted me, hey man, how you and your family? And with me fucking around thinking this shit, I text back and say, yo, we fucked up, we all got this shit, we dying, send me $8,000. And he laughed, and then I text back, yo, I'm not laughing, this shit is serious, they gonna turn my machines off if I don't get this fucking money. And he replied, "Let go and let God," which was funny. I cannot make this shit up. I'm on Facebook the next day where M-Dubs reported his wife and baby were in the hospital with COVID-19. I said, oh my God. And he had it as well. And it just like that, I'm like, this is fun. I was like, yo, this is crazy. I cannot believe this shit is happening. And so I'm like, this is worse than I thought. And then you know, you're looking at it, and to anybody that's died from it, listen, if you've been affected or your family's been affected, you have my deepest condolences. It's just horrible. And I mean, I'm hoping we'll see some type of breakthrough soon. As we sit, as white people go fighting people because they don't want to wear a mask, just put your goddamn mask on. I guess one of the things about this is a lack of leadership through this. I think that's the most depressing part about this, because nobody really knows what to do. I'm a numbers guy. I have been on some shit like, well, it's a small number of deaths and all this type shit, but I just think we just have a total lack of leadership. And I think what should have been done when this thing first came out, this pandemic, and if you're going to lock down the whole economy, I just think that they should have stepped in and just with the federal government and just relieved everybody of student loans, car notes, mortgages, you know, pretty much all your payments, and just say, hey, let's get this under control. Because for us to be such a huge and rich and powerful nation, I just don't understand why we are still number one with this goddamn disease. And I care, there is some glimmer of hope. We are getting better because we tested about 1 million people in Georgia. Out of that 1 million, I think we have about 115,000 infected. And out of that 115,000, we probably right at 2,900, 3,000 deaths out of a population of 10.6 million, which is a very low. And listen, if you had this or you've been affected, I'm sorry, you have my condolences, but it's a low fatality rate. Now, with the kids going back to school, who knows? Who knows what to do with the kids going back to school? I think somebody put out, Betsy DeVos said something similar to me, like, if we have fatalities, there'll be 0.02%. But when you're talking about children, who the fuck wants to sacrifice their child in a classroom? And I get it, kids do need to go back to school because this Zoom learning, I don't really know if this shit is effective. You plopping your child down in front of a laptop pretty much every morning, and they're stared at the laptop, and my child just turned 5, so you could imagine, you know, the last bit of his schooling before they went out for the summer was us plopping him down in front of a laptop on a Zoom with 10 other 5-year-olds. And as you could imagine, I don't know what the teacher could really do. She's a great teacher, excellent teacher, but what can you do when you don't have that one-on-one? So it's definitely messed up. I don't know, like, how much of their actual progression has been hurt from this. We do teaching. Me and my wife, we sit down with them. We go over numbers, math, reading, all the words and things like that. But I don't know. I don't know if all the kids should just start over from scratch. He'll be entering kindergarten, but he's been able to read and identify some words and do certain things. So I'm very happy about that. But in speaking of these kids going back to school, nobody's saying anything about the teachers. You got old people that work in these schools, from the teacher, the principal, the old secretary. And let's just take, you know, the kids are very important. But my God, man, you're going to kill the old teachers. It's going to be some old secretaries dropping dead from this shit, because where is their protection? unless they in school with bubbles. And I don't even know how you can socially distance like 5-year-olds, 10. How do you do this? How do we do this? So it's going to be quite interesting to see, you know, that go down. Now, as we went throughout the year talking about hip hop now, as you know, Tekashi 6ix9ine got out of jail. And I said on a previous podcast that he'll probably get out and be one of the biggest rappers on earth, if not the biggest rapper on earth. And I guess he did it in a sense. I don't really listen to a lot of hip hop anymore. I listen to old school hip hop because I'm older. Not knocking what these young guys are doing. Shout out to the Baby. I love his music. Like, he called Lil Baby and the Baby a really dope thugger. All of them. I don't listen to a whole lot of their music, but at least I do know some of their songs. You know what I'm saying? But Tekashi did get out after telling on everybody, and I guess people are praising him. And, you know, I was only saying this, like, there's no honor amongst thieves in any type of criminal organization. You know, I've been around people where, or been in instances, and I'm not trying to glorify any type of thug life or gang life or no shit like that. But if you've ever been around a criminal element, you'll notice that a lot of backstabbing, people talking behind each other back, just all kind of flaw-ass shit going on. So I pretty much knew when he came out, you know, people would go crazy. Now, his house arrest is coming to an end in the next 25 days. So I will be quite curious to see how that plays out. I hopefully he has enough money to pay for security, because he's going to need some heavy-ass security. He gonna need security everywhere he go. He's not gonna be able to probably move without security. And I'm really scared for him. I mean, with live shows. But who knows? I don't know. This is a new day and age. It's a new generation. Who's to say this guy will remain untouched and be possibly as big as Jay-Z and get some supermodel or R&B singer to wife and life goes on? Who knows? I don't know. So I find that quite interesting. Also, it was quite interesting that happened this week, the big news with Will Smith and Jada Pinkett. I did a video about that, and watching Will sit there and take it like a champ, it showed me what true love is, because that was some real love. And it also shows me something too, like, you know, we always tend to look at the grass being greener on the other side. You see people that are wealthy and famous and super rich, and you say to yourself, man, that must be an amazing life. But in watching that, I could only scratch my head and say, you know, what really matters here? You know, what really matters? I mean, could you imagine? This is Will Smith. This woman is married to Will Smith, like the biggest movie star, action figure, action hero guy in all the movies. I mean, it doesn't get any more A-list than Will Smith. And there she is talking about being entangled with a young brother, a young R&B singer at that, named August Alsina. So I'm saying this to say, if you a mailman or you a garbage man, nigga, you don't stand a chance. That's pretty much what sums this up. I just think it was crazy. It was like really, really crazy, man. Just watching all of that go down. Hopefully this is still rolling. Okay, that's still rolling. So I'm new at this, so everybody bear with me, because this is new to me and I'm gonna be doing this every week. So I'm just sitting here typing and talking. Now they have some rumor that August Alsina was friends with Beyonce at the time her marriage was falling apart. But I don't think Beyonce's marriage was ever falling apart. I think that was a huge scam. And I think it was a smart, ingenious marketing ploy to get us to buy into her and Jay-Z's album, which is an amazing album, especially if you're married. I love that album they did. I forgot the name of it. I mean, music is just coming and going so fast that, you know, it's crazy, but it was an amazing song. There's been so much going on. I've been getting a lot of pushback in regards to Black Lives Matter. I want to say this about Black Lives Matter. As a term, as a terminology, I'm 100% for Black Lives Matter, which shows the appreciation for the life of me, my child, my wife, my father, my brother, my mom, everybody, my whole community, when it comes to police violence and just people being aware that we are humans. But here's the thing with me. So I did a video where I was talking recently just about, since the death of George Floyd, I mean, we've had numerous deaths of just Black people, not only just Black people, grown people, but babies, like literal babies my son's age, dying from stray bullets in neighborhoods and just dying in general. So I take it back down to the babies. And what I found most appalling is why aren't we in an uproar when these kids are murdered? Now, I keep getting back that, yo, that's two different things. We just fighting this one thing right now. And I can respect that. But the thing with Black Lives Matter is, if my child is dead or if a Black life is lost, why can't we question this movement if it's Black Lives Matter? Because how can you say that the child's life somehow is disregarded, or a Black life is disregarded when it comes to Black on Black crime? Now, I'm just trying to draw attention and awareness to the fact that, can we not be in an uproar? You know what I'm saying? Like, let's just be in a little bit more of an uproar when one of our loved ones are dying. Let's just make it not cool to harm one another. And a lot of people will say that every race kills their own, right? And I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get it. This is a different topic of discussion. But when you look at it, when you look at the numbers, and I was telling somebody this, even with the police brutality, when we're looking at statistics, so we make up 13% of the population, and with the police brutality reports and those incidents, we're probably five times the incidents based off our percentage of what we make up of the U.S. population. So I want to swing that back to homicides and violence. Now, my brother brought up a good point with these homicides. So, like, I did a report from the FBI. There's about 14,000 homicides. Of those 14,000 homicides, 54% were Black. And out of that 54%, about 98 to 99% of those homicides were Black on Black, which, that's 7,000-8,000 people, which is a tiny number in comparison to the population, to the numbers we make up of population. It's a very small number, but when you look at us as being a minority, making 13% of the population, you can swing that back to show, well, that's quite frightening. So my thing is this, I just want to bring awareness to the shit and just let us know we need to love each other. And that the number one problem I see in the community is a lack of family, lack of fathers, and love. You know what I'm saying? So that's all. I just want us to be aware and take some accountability for a lot of this shit. Say, this is where the buck stops. So that's that. I'm going to leave that there with that particular issue. Because I don't want to get too deep. I don't want to make this a snooze fest. Because this is my first time doing this shit. And as you can see, I'm sitting here just talking. So I guess I'm going to wrap this up. So thank you for tuning in to the LeVar Walker Show. And this is the first video episode. And I will see you next week. LeVar Walker Show. Look, click up the link for merch. Go to my store. Cop that merch. Also, please make sure you hit that like button and subscribe. That would mean a lot to me. So thank you for tuning in and see you next week. I'm out.